Namaste, Jai Hind. You're watching or listening to another edition of the ANI podcast with Smita Prakash. Today, my guest is Shri Hardeep Singh Puri, a noted politician, veteran diplomat and author. Currently, Mr. Puri is the Minister of Urban Development. He has figured before in this podcast, episode number 109. Because we're recording this podcast in the thick of elections of 2024, the conversation is focused on just domestic politics and issues that are shaping the election around the first three phases of polling. So thank you so much for being part of the podcast. You featured before, but today I want to focus just on the elections because we're in the thick of the elections. Just before phase three, I just wanted to know that there were a lot of articles and reporting that phase one was thanda, phase two became aggressive simply because phase one was thanda. And then there was this whole reportage that maybe 400 par was too ambitious a slogan. What is your take on it?
Smita ji, in any electoral process, more so in India and more so in the current Indian context, where a party led by a hands-on prime minister has already enjoyed and served the country for 10 years and is on the verge of claiming another 5 years. By virtue of its work, there will always be thandai and garmai, but much of it is subjective. And I submit to you that only this morning I had a look at the data put out by the Election Commission of India. And I think the polling in both the phases was over 65%, mm-hmm. which is a very good figure in any democracy. I've had the privilege of living for many years in the Western democracies, where urban turnouts are sometimes in the 20s and 30%.
Yeah.
But in India, 65-66% turnout in the first two phases, at a time when you have 42 degrees Celsius as the temperature, is anything but low. So this thandai, I think, is also a function of the subjective political narrative. Because when somebody says, "Arey, turnout thoda low tha," so it's on that basis, then they start drawing inferences from that. Okay. And then they start concocting theories on it. Okay, this time, is bar, it's 400 par nahi hai, iska to BJP is at a different figure. Arey, let me again submit to you. I have a simple take on this. Before the 2019 election, some of us, under the able supervision of Mananiya Gruh Mantri ji, we conducted a small exercise. What were the total number of beneficiaries of the central government schemes, the labarthis? And we came to the conclusion there were 22 crore. And madam, the number of votes we got in the 2019 elections was 22 crores. We were 303. This time, the number of beneficiaries of central government schemes, if I remember correctly, are 33 crores. And you can argue with me, we can argue till the cows come home. Does every beneficiary vote for the government? You could say, maybe yes, maybe no. But I have a theory that if somebody is a beneficiary of a government scheme, not only is he or she inclined to vote for the government, but all those who come in touch with them are also equally inclined to vote in that direction. So I think we are approaching these next phase of elections, first two already over, with a good 65% turnout. Next phase with that confidence, and the opposition don't have a narrative and they don't have issues on which they can target us. So today the overall atmosphere in this is of a different kind. It's a question of, will it be 400 plus or will it be slightly short? Now that's quite a happy situation as far as a student is. Mm. I mean, does it really matter? We are 303, we are 10% more, we'll be 330. We get 15% more, we'll be 345. And the NDA allies will surely bring in another 30, 40. So if what's happened, even if you are at 10% more, 330 plus 30, 40, 370, 380, that's their worst case scenario. I'm willing to accept that. But I think we are looking at that sentiment of 400.
Well, another UN diplomat turned politician, Mr. Shashi Tharoor, just before the third round, and since I'm interviewing you just before the third round of polling, he says, and I quote, "My gut feeling is that they," that is the BJP, "are not going to cross very much beyond 200 seats. Forget 400, forget 300, how much more than 200 remains is in the phases." He says then, "We look at the election in which the BJP will fall to a level where they won't even be able to find allies. Given all this, I think we have to be very clear that there's absolutely no realistic prospect for the BJP to come back with anything like the numbers they're suggesting, not even close."
I happen to have been on the teaching faculty of St. Stephen's College when he was a student. And I've always resisted the temptation to call him my student or that I was his teacher. I think this is a comment that he has made. Please frame it and let's discuss it on 4th of June.
College ka kasoor hai?
Nahi, college ka kasoor nahi. Wo to college ka to aapko pata hai. Ek hamare neta the, buzurg hain, unke baare nahi kehna chahta. Thode se pompous the. Pompous ke ilawa unko aadat thi. To St. Stephen's College mein dinner pe speakers ko invite kiya jata hai. तो साहब ने जाके रजिस्टर पे लिखा, "I am what I am because of the college." और उनके पीछे आ रहे थे एक और कांग्रेस के नेता मणिशंकर आयर, उन्होंने लिखा, why ब्लेम द कॉलेज। सो शशि थरूर इज केपेबल ऑफ बींग इज अ वेरी इंटेलिजेंट पर्सन, लुक इज ऑल्सो अ फ्रेंड, सो आई मेक द कॉमेंट्स एज आई डू विद अ सर्टन डिग्री ऑफ हेजिटेशन. He is capable of being delusional, but in this case, I think it's more a heavy dose of wishful thinking.
Sir, but there's also a very deliberate and, if I may say, interpretation of this 400 par slogan, because of the it could be malafide if you listen to the BJP, if you listen to the Congress, they say it's not malafide, it's a right interpretation that 400 is needed to alter the constitution and to dilute the caste reservation.
No, this is an absurdity, and it is, I think, atrocious of them to suggest that. First of all, let us talk about amendments to the constitution per se. These have been carried out, as far as I am aware, from 1947 onwards on a large number of occasions, always by the Congress which has been in power. I mean, I'm not saying good or bad. I'm not getting into the merits of those amendments. You know, terms like secularism and socialism were introduced by the Congress through these amendments. We are talking about 400 as a platform which will enable the country to be served even more effectively in the next 5 years. Amending the constitution is not the issue here. They are saying something worse. They are saying we will amend the constitution to take away the reservation which has been given to SC, ST, OBC. This is an absurdity. And they buttress this position by actually playing, manipulating a statement which was attributable to the Honorable Home Minister, where a statement is taken and a sentence is taken out of context, etc. Now, when we saw this and we discovered that this was a
fake video,
we have not only corrected it, but we have actually had statements made at the level of the Prime Minister and Mohan Bhagwat ji. So there's no issue that they're creating a controversy in order to be able to give themselves some wiggle room.
So, while I'm doing this interview, the campaigning for the third phase is ending. Do you feel that, you viewed elections in the past as a diplomat, you've seen it as a politician now, you've been part of the political process. Do you feel that it's entered absurd levels with now sex videos coming out, rape accusations? It's become so filthy, these elections.
No, I wouldn't go to that extent. Look, what is democracy? It's a full play of all the forces at play by those who want to advocate programs, by those who want to criticize, by those who want to indulge in this thing. But by and large, the electoral process and the conduct of these elections and those who participate in it need to be complemented. I mean, if you look at the total number of people who will participate in this, all right, there will be cases of invectives being hurled, including at us. regrettable, but you know, they make a fool of themselves when you use those terms. And this is not the first election. This happened during 2014, this happened during 2019. And I think whoever uses that kind of speech and hurls invectives do themselves more harm. Put that aside. But the more important thing is, if somebody misbehaves, or there is, you remember, you referred to tapes or that evidence, if it is genuine, like, look, there can be a morphing also. But if it is genuine, I think that's part of the electoral process. And if somebody has used dominant power in order to coerce or to people put boys or girls or women into those kinds of positions, I think they deserve to be condemned. And condemned with all the might at our command. And even one case like this is one case too many. But let's not hide it. Let's not put it under the carpet. Equally, if there are false accusations, then that we must also be able to clear.
Correct. Is it the kind of videos that are coming out, the kind of speeches that are made, has it vitiated the atmosphere? Because the allegation is that after the first round of polling, your party got into a super aggressive mode and there have been anti-minority comments. Being from the Sikh faith, how do you see this?
I would be very, very careful in making generalizations. There will always be individuals in all parties, who will give vent to their personal frustrations or who will make those statements, But by and large, I think the parties themselves turn around and, take action against it. For instance, in our case, if I remember correctly, there was one particular individual who had been in parliament and who was making suggestions. But those were his personal suggestions. He didn't get a ticket. So second issue, which I would say, there are people who get up in parliament or elsewhere and use language which can be described as unparliamentary. They don't get tickets. If you have those correcting mechanisms within the party, then I think it becomes known. For instance, there was a particular gentleman who became very high profile, and there were, people of a sporting fraternity, protesting against him. He didn't get a ticket. So as long as we have these filtering mechanisms, I think it is a very good sign. And I think for the BJP, I must confess, we've gone from being a party with two members in the Lok Sabha to now 290, then 303, and this time 350 by ourselves. These things are bound to happen. A lot of people will join us. The filtration process sometimes will be delayed. Sometimes they will get excited. But, you know, in a large carnival of democracy, these things are to be taken in their stride.
When you talk about joinings, I have to ask you about the Delhi unit. How many more will you take in? It's like the other political parties are imploding. You're just taking in so many people.
Ma'am, I can tell you that yesterday I had the privilege of being at the party headquarters when Mr. Lovely and other senior leaders of the Congress Party. Now, these are senior and these are very experienced leaders. Two of them have been cabinet ministers for 10 years, four-time MLAs. There's an AICC general secretary. There is a DUSU, Delhi University Students Union president. So these are very established.
But doesn't it make it, doesn't it dilute the core party ideology when you take
it? No, but they are now part of our ideology. You see, the
how does a switch happen so suddenly?
No, it's not a switch. I'll tell you something. There is something about the Kamal ka phool. You know, when it blooms and it is now blooming, it can absorb within it passing strands. Now, I would get worried if the imports...
That's very poetic.
Yeah, but I would get worried if the imports into the party start asserting their way of thinking onto us.
Yeah.
Then I would get worried. But I see all of them, nation first, the basic respect and adherence to the party value system and accepting the discipline of the party. Now, we've had one or two cases where people said, I will join provided you give me that particular seat. And I think the party has rightfully turned around and said, thank you very much. If you wish to join us, please join us. Insofar as giving you that seat is concerned, that the concerned decision-making You know, apparatus within the party will take charge. Yeah.
But what happens to the karyakartas who selflessly have been working for decades together? When it comes to distribution of the fruits of labor, it will go to those who have just come in, isn't
it? I have never heard of any karyakarta who he or she who have worked hard ever denied their this thing. We are the only party which is against Parivarvad. What works here, I'm not saying against, I'm saying something more basic. You have to establish your own merit. Which other political party in India has a system where an ordinary karyakarta can one day get up and discover he or she has become chief minister? No, I would put it differently. Yes, when a party grows, I had a somewhat difficult exchange some years ago when I was there and this point was being made by the karyakartas. So I turned around and I was a little more direct than I would normally want to be. And I said, look, if good people are joining us, why do you want to stand in the way? If you have the merit and the hard work, even after they join us, you are not going to be discriminated. So like Advaniji once told me, I wanted to join the party sometime in 2009. So, and he turned around and said, ki, yeah, is party mein aana bada mushkil hai. Maine kaha, kyun? He said, wo, रेलवे के डब्बे में ऑलरेडी काफ़ी लोग हैं सो नए लोग जो आना चाहते हैं वो दरवाज़ा नॉर्मली आप पे आपके लिए खोलते नहीं है तो इसलिए थोड़ा कष्ट करना पड़ता है
सो दीज आर ऑल आई थिंक दिस इज ऑल्सो योर एक्सपीरियंस एज अ डिप्लोमैट व्हेन यू वर एट द WTO negotiations एंड दोज काइंड ऑफ थिंग्स वे यू नेगोशिएटिंग एंड यू लर्न टू फाइंड अ कॉमन ग्राउंड आई गेस दैट हैज हेल्प्ड कमिंग इनटू प्ले राइट
मैम जस्ट नॉट जस्ट द WTO इन एनी नेगोशिएशन बिटवीन हस्बैंड एंड वाइफ between your family, between people in your party. The essence of good democracy and the essence of stability is the reconciliation of multiple interests and voices. And I think there will be a statement by when after this 2024 election is over, what will you remember? What are the main sticking points? When I look at the 2014-19 election, there are two statements which come to mind, which will stick in my mind as long as I'm alive. One is Maut ka Saudagar. Who made that statement?
Yeah.
Chaukidar bhi chor hai. Who made that statement? Now you might get some other images in your mind. A young, upcoming, relaunched leader trying to play chess. I mean, that may be an image which you might wish to remember. But otherwise, life moves on. People get on. People say there is something like anti-incumbency. Then you discover, oh my God, ye to pro-incumbency hai. So, elections are, people will commit acts of omission and omission. Some of them will pay the price for it. But at the end of the day, it's one happy carnival of democracy.
I'll come back to Arvinder Singh. Lovely. Yes.
That's a lovely name.
Lovely name. Okay, I'm going to come to that. Because see, he's a new entrant, rather an old entrant, left, come back, all those things that he's done. He's not going to remain in the shadows. He's going to come kind of a lateral entry. How do you deal with that?
His DNA is not of the kind that remains in the shadow. Let me just put it this way.
Right.
No, I am particularly happy about his coming. And all those leaders who came yesterday, you know, 10-year cabinet, they have hands-on experience of both political processes. Well, look, with all your faults, if you've been an MLA for 3 or 4 terms, you know what it takes. Yeah. I have a feeling that these people joining us in what is or was, I think in the past 10, it used to be a Punjabi city, number one. But you can't define your outreach to the Punjabi community and the Sikh community in particular in terms of the politics of the Gurdwara. No, I'm very happy that if people associated with the Sikh movement also join us, I'm very happy. We have some very good people. But we have to look at the Sikh community outside the Gurdwara context. I am one of those who's been a very proud Sikh. I was born and brought up in Delhi. I have contacts with the Sikh community all over India.
But your politics is not Gurdwara politics.
It's not Gurdwara politics. My association with the Sikhs in Birmingham or in Wolverhampton, Southwest, or in Switzerland, or New York, it's based on a cultural
sure.
interactive process. It's not Gurdwara politics. We might go to the Gurdwara. These are two separate things. So yeah. I think Lovely's coming in is a very good sign. And I would say that in the coming time, a lot of people who've joined us will start playing active roles. And certainly by the time we are ready for the assembly elections in Delhi.
The bugbear, yes. Assembly elections. Why is it that the BJP has still not been able to project one leader comparable to what a Sushma Swaraj was or what an Arvind Kejriwal is? Even though he's in jail, you still don't have one single leader who
we
can fight
many.
Him.
We have many.
Tell me one.
Oh, we have many. You see, the problem is Sushma Swaraj was never Chief Minister of Delhi except for a brief period yeah. when she was projected.
Ever since then, nobody.
No, because there are good explanations for this. And the explanations are you've now thrown up so many leaders. But they were not Delhi leaders. I mean, you could take any one of these people who have both a standing within the party and who correspond and respond to Delhi's requirement, you could project them. I mean, we've got, what is Delhi's population today? The demographics has changed.
Yeah.
There was a time when Madanlal Khuranaji used to be around. It was solidly a Punjabi city. Today, yes, there's a sizable section of Punjabis, but equally, there are Purvanchalis, there are people from other parts of India. Today, my friend Anamalai is addressing a Tamil Sangam here. Now, you could take any one of them. At the end, what will stand out is not a designated person. Hmm. That designation will come in the normal course. In the last election, both in the assembly and so on, it was a different context. Today, I think we are approaching Delhi, those 7 seats again, and then the assembly election, with a very decisive pro-development BJP, which will throw up whoever it has to. I can think of n number of people.
You don't think that Kejriwal is going to get, or the Aam Aadmi Party is going to get, the sympathy vote because so many of their leaders are fighting this from jail?
Are you suggesting, Smita ji, that you first commit an action which results in your enjoying state hospitality and then you can get sympathy for having committed such an action and being a state guest? No, I don't think so.
Talking of sympathy vote, Maharashtra also goes to polls. And there's a lot of, and you know, they send in the second largest number of people, you know that, into parliament. It's very complicated, literally a six-cornered context going on there. It's difficult to understand. But everybody is wondering who's going to get the sympathy vote. On the one hand, you have Sharad Pawar, an octogenarian who's fighting. And there are a whole lot of editorials which say that, look at this man, look at his energy, fighting still. And then, so he might get the sympathy vote. And then there's Uddhav Thackeray, betrayed by his own party. They've taken away the symbol. They've broken his party. He might get the sympathy vote.
It's a very peculiar kind of short-sighted politics, which in the context of Parivarvad, looks for sympathy when everybody knows that all you're doing is either nurturing and buttressing the claim of your son in one of the people you named, or the other one in the case of the daughter. Look, I'm not saying anything against the individuals concerned, but where is the question of sympathy here? Maharashtra is one of India's leading states. I mean, it is a, you know, economically successful state. And look what these combinations in the past have made of Maharashtra. And I think if Parivarvad is the sole guiding and determining factor, then I don't think it will get sympathy. They'll get an adequate response from the people. Even in Delhi, what I find is, aap jo sawal pooch rahi thi, you know, iska jawab vote se aayega.
Yeah. Jail ka jawab.
Jail ka jawab vote se aayega. Arre bhai, uncle poochon se jail gaye kyun ho? Hum sharab ke khilaf hai. Phir uske baad sharab ka ghotala ho jata hai. Ghotala hua ke nahi hua, wo nahi question kar rahe. फिर कहा जी हाँ जी घोटाला तो हुआ पर वो क्या नाम था विजय नायर वो मुझे नहीं रिपोर्ट करता था वो तो आतिशी और दूसरे उनके जो मंत्री हैं उनको रिपोर्ट करता था सो ही थ्रू देम अंडर द बस टिल दैट जज साहिबा इन दिल्ली हाई कोर्ट टर्न्ड अराउंड एंड सेइंग हे लिसन लेट्स सेपरेट दीज थ्री द इंडिविजुअल द चीफ मिनिस्टर एंड द कन्वीनर ऑफ द आम आदमी पार्टी बट यू एज द कन्वीनर ऑफ द आम आदमी पार्टी एक्टिवली सॉट and received kickbacks. And the proceeds of that crime found their way into the Goa election. Now, please, that is what you have to answer. Now, all I'm turning around and saying, if you commit a crime, and it's a big thing, you know, to take liquor vends into residential areas near mosques, gurdwaras, and mandirs, where you openly encourage intoxication. I'm not saying good or bad, drinking good, that's a personal choice. But I am totally against creating an ecosystem which is anchored in corruption and coming from a man, hum sharab ke khilaf hai, hum to aam aadmi hai, muffler pehnenge, wagon R mein baithenge, hum uske baad pahunch gaye hum Sheesh Mahal. Now this is hypocrisy, and this kind of duplicity has been caught out by the voter, and I am not confident, more than confident, that people see through this.
So, you know, when you talked about Parivarvad and the benefits that these people, or they're fighting for Parivarvad, what they turn around saying, one, corruption and Parivarvad. As far as corruption is concerned, your party used to hurl accusations against many people from the NCP.
You know, this is that washing machine theory.
And the washing machine, that is one. And the second one is Parivarvad, even Sushma Swaraj's daughter is fighting.
A woman has passed away. And Bansuri is not so young. I shouldn't give a lady's age. She's a professional. She's worked her way up. She's worked in the party. She has been participating in activity. If she has been picked up as a potential and a promising, you know, female for a seat in Delhi, you look at it like that. I mean, there are other politicians who've been living in Delhi. They have children. So let's not, I mean, you can't hold the fact that her late mother was a BJP member against her. So that is one side. Insofar as this washing machine theory, I think it's been debunked now. First of all, ED goes against these people. I think we've clarified that the total number of cases that ED pursues, out of them only 3% are those which involve politicians. Secondly, and this is the most serious part of it, tell me one case. One case where you come in and the washing machine gives you an instant wash and the case goes away. Problem is different. People may come in thinking that joining the BJP will mean an end. Arre bhai, there have been people with us in positions of power. Cases have dragged on. Some of those may be attribute to the, I wouldn't say the malfunctioning of the, you know, delayed functioning of the system. Others are a question of expectation. But, you know, there was an article written, I can produce statistics selectively. Next day, there was an article in the same newspaper correcting it, but didn't get the same attention. So nowadays, they're not this washing machine and magic washing powder theory is not as current as it used to be.
The allegation is unsubstantiated, is what you would say.
No, it's not unsubstantiated. People will come into political life. They will face allegations. Some of them will be political nature. Some of them will be because they're in politics, people will try to pasau them. Some of them are genuine. But the law will take its own course.
Sir, I don't know whether you've had the time to see what the international reaction to elections in India has been. The Western media's portrayal of elections has been pretty odd. They call it a skewed system and a descent into autocracy. How do you see this?
Well, I've been watching it with perhaps greater interest than most people because I spent a greater part of my life in those countries.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. They try to project you means you, me and all of us. Earlier as a country of snake charmers, when they were forced to leave India thanks to the, the forces against colonialism mounted by Mahatma Gandhi and all the others, they said that these guys will not be able to survive. Winston Churchill at his famous best.
Yeah.
After that, they said, a poor country needs PL 480, needs this assistance, that. I mean,
shipped them out.
Absolutely. And today they find it very difficult to stomach the fact you're the fifth largest economy in the world, and with the next two economies that number 3 and 4 place ahead of you with flat growth or slightly very low growth or declining growth, you will be one of the world's largest economies in the next another 2.5 years. In the next tenure of Mr. Modi, you will be amongst the three top economies of the world. Now, there is a way of taking it, but I also suspect, and forgive me if I say this to you, many of our own distinguished members of the Fourth Estate, frustrated because they belong to an ecosystem set up by the previous dispensation. They fuel these stories from India outside and it comes back from there. But what are these stories saying? They're talking about, for instance, if you're talking about civil liberty. I mean, look, I've been in this game long enough. I can point the mirror at all the things that need rectification at your end. I mean, your end is their end.
Their end, yeah.
But we are decent people. We don't do that. Also, at this point of time, when you're in the midst of an election, you don't want to make this an issue. But come 4th June and thereafter, I think we'll be left with no choice but to address some of these trends.
And also Pakistan. This seems to be a strange
interest. They are taking
side
in our election.
Yes, that's what I wanted to know.
But unko bolo, apne aap to theek karo. 8 baje ke baad bijli band kar dete ho. Aur wo, dekho, aisa hai. Pakistan and India, two countries born from the womb of the same mother. In 1947. और आप पहुंच के वो चंदा मामा के साउथ पोल पे आप ने और पता नहीं क्या किया. यू आर नाउ गेटिंग यू आर प्रिपेयरिंग फॉर ऑल काइंड्स ऑफ अदर फीट्स एंड पाकिस्तान टुडे इज फेसिंग अ सिवियर क्राइसिस. ओके, आई ब्लेम प्रीवियस इंडियन गवर्नमेंट्स फॉर what's happening. And I'm not one of those who say foreign policy, everything that happened was not good there and it's good. I don't believe in. I believe in continuum.
Sure.
But I'll believe them for something very basic. When a country has decided and announced that it will use terrorism or terror as an instrument of state policy and they're sponsoring cross-border terrorism against you, you should not be talking to them. Because they legitimized their attitude on the global stage, say you can do acts of terror and still Indians will talk to you. Then you talk from a position of weakness. Forget about other foreign policy things that Jaishankar ji will speak to you on. But with Pakistan, I think we are doing the right thing now. We tried all other things, believe
me. So Farooq Abdullah yesterday and today.
I know, I heard that. I heard that.
Has said
that. Because I think Rajnath ji made a statement about integration of POK. But you know, that's been a long-standing position of the BJP all along. That eventually, I don't think Rajnath ji said that day after we are taking it over.
Yeah,
no, I don't
that's
think.
That's true.
But suddenly Farooq Abdullah ji remembered that unke paas bhi atom bomb hai, toh girega aap. So I mean, I don't want to get it's a non-serious discussion which
took place. And then Pakistani politician Fawad Chaudhry.
Ye hai kaun pehle?
Ex-minister hai.
Kahan pe the minister? Kahan pe the minister?
He was in Pakistan.
Nee, where? In what?
In fact, he's the one who in parliament, in this said, talked about the cross-border strikes and said, yes, it happened. Aur ab, after the whole Imran Khan episode, wo jail mein baithe hain.
Cross-border unhone kiya Congress ki samay. Aur usko it happened. Ab now he's lamenting the fact that Rahul Gandhi ji is not doing that well.
Now that we've come to Rahul Gandhi, what do you have to say about him deciding to fight in Rai Bareli and it being termed as a masterstroke against your party?
I think he's going to lose both.
Wayanad and Rai Bareli.
That's it. And I think they agonized before taking the decision. Mm-hmm. There was both an element of introspection. Because you look at why he went to Wayanad in the first place. Because asafalta in one, you go to the other, and then you said, mujhe Uttar Pradesh ke jo voters hain, wo itne pasand nahi hai. Kyun? They tend to vote on broad emotional, etc. And the southern voter is more mature.
Evolved and mature.
Something to that effect. I don't remember the exact word. Now, what are you going to tell the Wayanad voters? Let's say, hypothetical situation A.
If you want to leave.
If you want to leave, no, I mean, unless he wants to like playing that chess, do another Kasparov move that he will all represent both the constituencies, turn up between 11 and 1 representing Wayanad, then change his clothes, and at 2:30 he will come representing the other one if he wins both. But that's
he didn't even go for the last day of campaigning to Wayanad.
No, I know that. I saw that. He turned up with his entire family at the other place in Uttar Pradesh.
And he sent his sister. To campaign in Wayanad the day before last day of polling. And in Amethi, he sent his sister again to appeal to the voters to vote for Sharma ji.
I heard and I saw. So there are three aspects to this. One, what's going to happen in these elections? I wish him the very best of luck, but I think he's facing a dilemma here, number one. Number two, what is it about the sister? Is it the Italian family value system which promotes the male over the female child? But because she's not new to politics. Smita ji, if you remember, in the last assembly elections in the UP, she was actually made Prabhari for Eastern UP, if I remember.
Yes.
Then, now I saw some of Jairamji's statements. They tend to amuse me. Well, she could always come in a bipole. Arey, bhai, bipole to tab aayega baad mein na. Abhi to aao. Abhi to mauka hai. You had an opportunity. You ran away from that. I think there are some internal contradictions at play here.
And it's very patronizing to say she can always come from here.
No, but first of all, exactly, this is what I meant. She can come. So Rahul Baba could have come from there. I would have liked to see her enter the electoral fray. And, you know, I see reports wherever she campaigns, she gets more traction than other members of her party, including in the family.
That's true. I want to get into a larger discussion before I conclude. You're a history major, you've studied contemporary history, you've seen it. Is it true that at the peak of emergency, there were Congress leaders who talked about and prepared a paper, actually, saying that there should be a presidential form of government? And it seems this is from Neerja Chaudhary's book about prime ministers.
100% correct.
Yeah?
Neerja is not only a friend, but she and I have interacted over the last 30, 40 years. And it was open talk. You see, the very interesting thing, you talk about a caste census, you talk about all these things. These guys actually in 2011 prepared one and they sat over it for 3 years. Equally, they are saying that we want a presidential. I mean, there are people who suggest that. Inhone to kiya tha. Dekhiye, electoral politics mein, democracy ki evolution mein, people will think and come back. But my only concern is that they don't have a research department attached to their motor mouth leaders. So what happens is, wo statement kar dete, and then they said, aray, we've shot ourselves in the foot. And actually, they are handing us
ammo.
One self goal after another.
But sir, this is very sinister because, I just read this where it seems that, not only had they just prepared the paper, they even
circulated
about
it. They circulated it to itself.
Yeah, Bansilal, in fact, said, get rid of this election nonsense, make our behen president for life. They actually wanted to end elections. And it seems when Kuldeep...
Wait, it fits into the pattern.
And you knew Kuldeep Nayyar, right? And
did I know Kuldeep Nayyar? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
No, Kuldeep ji was in many ways to us, in different positions.
Yeah.
I mean, from the time that he served Lal Bahadur Shastri ji to the time he became Hindustan Times editor to the time that he was staying, he was close to... He was Shri Inder Gujral ji's advisor, but... I've had the benefit of hosting him in Delhi, in Sri Lanka, wherever I've been posted, America. So, including in New York. Kuldeep ji was a wealth of...
It seems, asked Sanjay Gandhi about this episode in which Bansilal said, ki elections ko do away karo aur Indira Gandhi ko prime minister for life banao. So, Kuldeep Nayyar ji asked Sanjay Gandhi about this episode a few years after emergency. And he said to have replied... Address this to my mother. In my scheme of things, there was to be no elections for 3 to 4 decades. This is what was the sinister plan.
This is the kind of thing reported. But please explain to me how, and this is what I said earlier. Listen, by the way, I'm not only because a friend of Neerja, but I read the book very carefully. I've read other things she's been writing over there.
Sure.
How do you have a situation where you don't have elections for 4 decades. Decade means 10 years, 40
years.
Which means you'll have the emergency continuing.
This is what was the plan.
No, but how do you...
So suspending fundamental rights.
Civil liberties. Rights and civil liberties. These are the people who talk about democracy and, concentration of power.
Huh.
These are the people who turn around and at least had these harebrained, bizarre ideas. Now, if this had to be denied, it should have been denied then. Today in 2024, if we rake it up, we'll say, yeah, this is all made up. Arey bhai, Neerja ji has not written the book now. She's actually chronicled different prime ministers and different eras. She will talk about us also, by the way. I mean, we are coming to that. So I'm saying that there was enough to go by in this context.
So finally, I have to ask you this, that Mr. Chidambaram says that he's written an editorial that the hero of 2024 is the Congress manifesto, because your party changed gears on April 21st, he says, when you realized that phase one showed you the mirror that you were going to lose. And that's when the Congress manifesto became the hero of this.
I mean, I'm You see, Mr. Chidambaram writes a weekly column. The problem is when you take on a weekly column to write, you've got to write something. So now he comes up with this fanciful scheme. Look, he's been my minister. I worked with him. He can do better. Let him come down to either serious law practice or some serious reading and writing.
Or growing cauliflowers on the terrace that happened.
That's a little more serious, you know, this cauliflower. Because when you talk about sources of income, etc., that becomes a very relevant discussion. How did you make your money? I was growing cauliflowers. Where did you grow cauliflowers? I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about in general. Look, it's not what is in a manifesto alone. There's enough in this manifesto for people to focus on. Look at the 6th April speech. Hum ek x-ray karwayenge, pehle caste census karayenge, x-ray karayenge, pata karayenge, wealth kahan hai, fir fatafat usko redistribute kar denge. Are,
even khatakat.
Which means you have some magic wand with which I can take your wealth and give it to him, his wealth, give it to so-and-so. Who the hell are you? I mean, who are you? You are a politician out on bail. You have no standing. As far as I know, he lost his seat in the Lok Sabha, no? Hmm. And what is he talking about? I mean, he's a part-time politician. When parliament is in session, if he gets elected, I don't think he will. But he will be here for a while. Then he'll be in Spain or Thailand. But listen, this is non-serious. I think the Congress party deserves better. Forget about anything else.
Yeah. They are talking in terms... I interviewed Kapil Sibal yesterday, and he was saying that every organ of our government has failed. He says the judicial system, the electoral system, the media, everything has totally collapsed under the 10 years under Modi government, and every system will have to be revamped once this
election
is over. With
Kapil Sibal as the... the wise man who will redraw the boundaries.
Yes, the oracle.
I find it very difficult. Oracle, I'm glad. He was my teacher, by the way.
Huh? Okay.
So again, I find myself constrained. I don't say anything against the teacher. Again, he's being delusional. He practices in the apex court and says nasty things about them. Judiciary has failed. Are mere bhai, we ought to be proud of our judiciary. And I say this with a degree of responsibility. Very often they do say and do things which are not to our liking. Yes. But that's what the democracy is all about. Our electoral system, our election commission has failed. Are, when the EVMs result in verdicts which are favorable to you, then it has a wiring system where if the EVM produces a pro-opposition result, it's doing well. If it produces a BJP result, oh, failure ho gaya. Press. How can a politician, look, I may or may not like individuals in the press, but the two, the political class, the judiciary, the press, these are all constituent elements of a democracy. They have to carry each other along with them. I mean, if you didn't have the press, who would find out what you're saying? So now it so happens that the instruments of that dissemination have changed. Now today, print media was overtaken by others. Today, you have autonomous platforms and you have, you know, influencers and so on. But you have to adjust to that. But to write them all off, judiciary has failed, this has failed, and all 10 years because of Modi. Yeah. That means Modi ji has an even bigger accomplishment than those, you know, 33 crore labharthis. It has been able to redraw all the institutions. I think Kapil ji needs to take a break. By the way, which party is he in now?
None. So that's
no. Which party is he in? Seriously.
No, he isn't. He's come to the Rajya Sabha with support. So every time you ask him about the Congress, is saying this is. Don't ask me. I'm not in the Congress. The TMC is. I'm not. He represents all of the parties in the when he fights.
You mean
legal
he's a
cases.
Hired figure so, by all the parties?
But he says ideologically he believes in the India Alliance. So that's why he's fighting you.
Oh, that's very nice to hear. So he is in the opposition on that. Yes. I didn't have to be told he's part of the India Alliance because he is very vocal. But as I said, he was my teacher. I let it go.
Right. Okay. On that note, thank you so much,
thank you
sir,
very
for
much.
Spending time with
thank
us
you.
And wishing you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you for watching or listening to this edition of the ANR podcast with Smita Prakash. Do hit the like and subscribe buttons. Namaste. Jai Hind.